You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Jordan the intern. Trying to explain to me, little Jordan Humphrey's small. Not accurate.
No, I'm saying
6'4", 225 is nothing.
What, Wikipedia? I thought that was.
Michael Thomas, by the way, currently listed at 6'3", 212. I think Michael Thomas is thick. I think Michael Thomas is strong. I think Michael Thomas can break tackles. I'm just asking. It's just a simple question.
I feel like they're bigger than that. I don't know.
I am drinking some Kool-Aid today.
You are. Major.
Going black cherry.
You have a gallon of that stuff.
Black cherry Kool-Aid might be spiked the way I'm loving on Lorden. Little Jordan Humphrey. I'm just trying to understand. 86 receptions, 1,176 yards, 10 touchdowns. How he didn't get drafted. I get it. He ran a slow 40, 4.7 for a receiver. Which, by the way, I just want you to understand, because you saw the highlights, right? He outran some people and stuff. Eric McCoy, 4.8 40. Just keep that in mind. The center that the Saints selected in the second round. 800-998-1003. We'll be hearing from Marlon Favorite at some point this hour. Also, we'll be checking out Larry Holder's thoughts at 4:15 as well. Thanks to Will Guillory as we went over the NBA playoffs. And I look on line three and I see Travis, and it's time for his update on the LeBron Hate Network. What's up, my friend? How you doing, Travis?
How you doing today, Doug?
I'm doing fine, man. Let me tell you something. It's been a good week for LeBron. He did not get officially turned down by anybody for Space Jam 2. I didn't see anything last week. Now I was knee-deep in draft coverage, but did you see if anybody turned him down last week? I didn't, so it's a good week for him.
At this point, Gus, I don't even know if his wife wants to be in a movie.
There it is. What's up, my dude? You had a good weekend?
I know you were just talking about the draft. I watched a little bit of it. No surprises, really. I think we had some undrafted players that I didn't expect to, you know, have he go undrafted.
Right.
Joe Willis III was one of the ones I thought was pretty shocking that he didn't get drafted. I mean, a lot of people want to say, you know, offensive position. If you have a offensive position, that was kind of surprising. The one thing I did want to talk about, Gus, was the irony of Mr. James Harden yesterday coming out and saying, I just want the refs to call the game the way it's supposed to go. Mr. Go to the line 25 times a game?
James Harden has perfected, Travis, the I take a shot, I kick out my foot, my tippy toe and the sneaker gets you. Foul defense. Nothing annoys me more than that. Look, I think it was a product of what they've done, right? I think the NBA's gotten tired of the flops. They've gotten tired of all of that, and they've tried to go away with it. And just like anything else, the pendulum sort of switches. The NBA did come out today and say they missed three calls that would have been in favor of the Houston Rockets. And the NBA did come out and say that Curry should have fouled out in game one. Now, that said, there were some that I saw this morning, you know, Williams out there say, look, some should have been fouled, some didn't. But look, Travis, don't you agree? When you do this all the time, and you're known for this, I can't blame the refs. You know, I can't.
You can't be the boy who cries wolf. At any point, they're going to come out and you're not going to get those calls. And Gus, I remember thoroughly you going over this, knowing exactly what was going to happen around this time of year. We said either Chris Paul's going to get hurt or playoff James Harden is going to show up. And sure enough, one of them is happening. Playoff James Harden. You're not going to get those regular season calls in the playoffs. And you're not going to play the best team in the NBA, roughly, or we can say, you know, you're not going to play that all-star team and get those calls. It's not going to happen. And it's amazing to me that he got in the press conference and asked for more fouls. I was just astonished. Mr. Travel and don't get a travel call. I drive to the lane and flop. But just last week, he pretended to get elbowed in the beard. And, I mean, and it looked like he was in a John Wick movie. He got hit in the throat. It's ridiculous that the guy is going that far. And, I mean, this series, to me, as of right now, because of what he said yesterday, that series is over. Because he's going to, it's clear to me that him and first of all are clearly going into this series looking to go to the free throw line. And that's how they expect to be the Golden State Warriors. And if that's your answer for the Golden State Warriors going to the free throw line, we can go ahead and we can touch this up right now.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, any thoughts on what you're seeing out in the East, man? Any thoughts in the Eastern Conference playoffs there? I thought Boston's kind of showing a little of their flexing in the muscles. I'm not ready to count Milwaukee out just yet. I mean, look, it's one of the questions, Travis, that I said going into the postseason. This is different. This is different territory for Milwaukee. You know, this is different territory for Giannis. It's not like last year you got in the postseason. That's great. No one really expected you to go far. You're the top seed. You're an MVP candidate. A lot of people say you are the MVP. How do you come out and do it? And now you're, you know, now in a series, you're seeing teams and what Brad Stevens is doing and stuff, and they're focusing on you, and how do you make your adjustments now in game two? So that kind of stood out to me. And then Kawhi Leonard kind of quietly letting everyone know, man, y'all want to talk about everybody else? Don't forget about me.
I personally think that Brad Stevens may be one of the best. He could be the next great Popovich. I think he's that good of a coach. I mean, we have to kind of think and look into what he did last year and what he did this year. Apparently, this team that can't gel together, that doesn't do well, and can't win regular season games, all of a sudden comes alive in the playoffs. That sounds very familiar to me, if you're catching my drift. That sounds just like a San Antonio basketball team, if I've ever heard it. I think Giannis is playing really good, but, I mean, how long does hero ball work? Can hero ball beat a team? And I think that we haven't seen that happen yet, and I think that is the struggle. I think the 76ers look horrible right now. They look lost on the basketball court. I mean, they look lost last year, but that was against Brooklyn. They look worse now. That's scary. I think Milwaukee will pull it off, but I mean, I think that we're just watching the East, and I think Kawhi's playing great too. Don't get me wrong, but I just think that when you run into Jonathan, I think it'll be Milwaukee Bucks versus Toronto Raptors in conference finals. That's my take on it. And I think Giannis can pull it off. I don't know if Kawhi will ever cool down anytime soon. But once we get past that, I mean, it's just I don't think anyone can go more than five games against Golden State right now. I mean, KD looks like right now at any point in time, he can score 45 points and your team can just sit there and mope on the sideline.
Yep, no, I agree with you 100%, man. And look, I'm looking forward to it here as well and seeing what this Portland-Denver series can kind of get into, don't you?
I really, it's the Damian Lillard show, right? Like we finally got out of the first round. So now it's like, what do you show us now, Dame? Like, got more for us? Like, please don't let this just, you wanted to be Russell Westbrook and nothing else. I really hope he doesn't let us down like that, because that'll be a huge disappointment. I mean, the Nuggets, you know, got out of San Antonio by Cook, the skin of their teeth, and that's not saying much. He's good number two. So,
Travis, thank you so much for the phone call, man. I'm still going to get you in here. I promise. I'm going to get you in here.
No problem. Like I said, anytime you want to make that call,
I'll tell you this. Where are you going to sit just behind your left shoulder is a little goal that's hanging on the door, and I'll do my best LeBron impression. You can do your best James Harden impression.
That's fine. I'll show up in the playoffs, though. Just love this out of game.
Nice. Yes, yes. There it is. You better show up in a LeBron jersey is all I'm saying.
Which one, guys? There's so many teams.
That's right. No, I know. You got to pick one. Is it a Heat? Is it a Cavs? Is it a Laker jersey? I don't know. We'll see. Thanks, Travis, man. Have a good week. We'll talk to you soon, bud.
Same to you.
For sure. The numbers. Jordan, am I right on this? I want to say the ESPN ABC numbers at the end of the NBA season had your New Orleans Pelicans. Well, I'm sorry. New Orleans has the number 3 NBA market, right? In terms of viewership and everything?
Correct.
Okay. So the NFL draft put out their numbers. Huge, huge numbers. Joey, I don't know if you saw the story, and we talked about it all last week with John Forkade. You know, it was just kind of like, yeah, you know, if the draft comes here or not, I think I'd be incredible. The event in Nashville over 3 days, and mind you, they had weather, right? Rain in that Thursday round, the opening round. 600,000 is what the NFL is saying attended. I want you to think about that. 600,000. Now, the Philadelphia one really stood out. Remember when Philly hosted it and you saw it in the plaza right there, Liberty Square and all that? 250,000. Once again, Nashville, that street they blocked off. 600,000 over 3 days attended. Philly was 250.
They didn't have that many people in Tennessee.
That's incredible. 600,000 people attending that. Just to check it out and everything. The top 10 markets, Nashville, number one. New Orleans, number two. Richmond, three. Cleveland, four. Columbus, five. KC, six. Buffalo, seven. Birmingham, eight. Dayton, nine. Milwaukee, 10. Top 10 markets per ESPN, ABC, NFL Network. That 45.3 million viewers for the weekend's draft. It was up 5% from last year, and that live event drew 600,000 people. The NFL draft will never once again be in one little hall in New York City. It's never going to happen again. It's going to be a traveling circus. That's what it is.
How many from
next
Georgia?
Next year. Huh?
How many from Georgia?
I don't know. I didn't get any from Georgia.
Yeah, that's about right.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there, Joey. Yeah. I see what you did there.
Thank you.
You have to go look at them. Just go tweet, Google, Facebook, whatever. Falcons fans reaction round one. It's all you got to do. That's your keywords. And you'll see the video of the Atlanta Falcons select, and then they say the name. Then you hear this, some horn in the stadium, and confetti is dropping. And the reaction from Falcons fans was none. No, it was none. It was stoic. It was none. Like, nobody moved. Nobody high five. Nobody did nothing.
It looks like the guy when he passed the basket to collect money at church.
In fact, the guy turns around, like the guy closest to the camera turns around, just starts walking off. Just go check it out. It's incredible. It's really, really funny. Anyway, we were talking about it last week. Would you want to see the draft in the city and what it would be like? And where would it be? Last year was in Dallas, and they held it in Jerry World inside the stadium that seats 100,000. I guess because of weather, you do the dome. But I saw even Fletcher this morning from Channel 6 tweeted, it's like, look, imagine that weekend. You'll have the Zurich, you'll have Jazz Fest, and you'll have the draft. You're absolutely going to have a lot of people that come in that town. Now, that said, as we go to break, I did hear a lot of people mention that they thought about maybe doing the draft in Nashville and stuff. They looked it up online. Dude, hotel rooms, $300 minimum. Minimum. A night. Minimum. And like major events, it's probably a 2-3 night minimum. So you're probably looking about a K to stay down there just to stay. Much less flight, travel, eats, foods, beverages, the works. So, okay. There it is. Oh, yeah. You got to have the brass band. Anytime there's anything in New Orleans, there's always a cut shot going to and in out of break.
And with the brass first band. Selection.
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah. Can you imagine? Every pick is going to be a brass band. Because there was like a country music band on stage, right behind the commissioner playing music. Yeah. But that's what's going to be like. Jordan, did you happen to see a brass band today when you were crossing the causeway?
No.
Yeah, I haven't either. I very rarely see a brass band, but anytime you put on anything New Orleans, there's always a brass band. Always. I mean, you would think, I'm on my way to the store to get some groceries. Like there's a sign that says like ducking and stuff. There's going to be a picture of a trombonist or a saxophonist because, oh, here comes a brass band crossing West Metairie. Watch out. I'm just saying. Oh, there we go. There it is. Mardi Gras. That's right. That's right. There's got to be Mardi Gras music being played as well. Let's not forget. You just know music's going to be a massively central part of, and obviously I get it because it'd be Jazz Fest weekend and everything, but
it's not going to happen though.
You don't think New Orleans will ever host the draft?
No.
You think because of Jazz Fest and all that, because of lack of rooms and all that?
Yes.
That could be a concern. Although, imagine coming in for the draft, go taking some Jazz Fest.
Maybe have the draft in Mandeville.
Okay. You know what? On that note, let's take a break. Larry Holder, a serious contributor to the show. Yeah, Mandeville. Exactly. You got nothing. And you should have
nothing. We have the lakefront.
No. You're done. Sports Hangover continues next. Larry Holder, The Athletic on ESPN New Orleans.
Assistance of appliances.
Are you tired of waiting in the big box stores?
Customer needs assistance in appliances. Never mind. Rod Superstore.
Spring is in the air at Rod Superstore in Houma. Rod's is now an authorized Blaze barbecue grill and accessory dealer. With the Blaze limited lifetime warranty and a selection of grills, side burners, and flat top burners, along with refrigerators and outdoor island, will make any backyard a getaway. The heat is on, and Rod Superstore has Friedrich and Frigidaire window air conditioners from 5,000 to 36,000 BTUs to keep you cool this summer. Rod Superstore has home appliances by Frigidaire Pro, Sub-Zero, Wolf, KitchenMaid, Whirlpool, and Maytag. Refrigerators and freezers, ranges, and dishwashers, washers, and gas and electric dryers. All this and factory-trained in-house service for their customers only. Why not Rod Superstore? 808 Barrow Street in Houma.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Lauren here for Vision. We built a new house when our daughter arrived, and we made sure to include Home IQ in our plans. Being a mom is great, and I feel safe knowing that Vision has us covered with home security. The high-tech perks are great, too. Automated door locks, cameras, 24/7 surveillance, garage door control, thermostats, all accessible from my mobile phone. You don't need a new house to get the security you need for your family. Just call us. Watch and control your house with Home IQ. Smarter security from Vision. Louisiana license F1256.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Appropriate music coming in. Little jump. So excited to have our next guest. I feel like jumping in studio, but I won't. Could possibly get injured since I'm old. Larry Holder of The Athletic joins us this afternoon. What's up, Larry? How are you?
You're just happy that I won't be able to sneak up on you in studio with a sweaty foot like I could have at Zurich on Friday.
I was a little nervous when I heard wind in the background when you were talking. I was like, you better not be out here. And thankfully, you were not. Should I be ready and start saving my money to buy myself a LaJordan Humphrey jersey, or will it be another one in the line of Adrian Arrington, Nick Toon, and Brandon Coleman?
Well, of those three, only one was undrafted. So, Ken Coleman stuck probably the longest, am I right?
Yeah. Double A, C-U-T.
Double A, C-U-T, thanks to Amco, old school Amco. But, it's kind of one of the wonders, and it's a good way for me to pitch what we got going on at The Athletic. I'm not used to having at my disposal a on-site, on-point draft expert. And, of course, if you're at The Athletic, you can go check out Dane Brugler's draft analysis on Lil Jordan Humphrey, who, of course, wasn't drafted. But he's someone who's probably going to come in and compete for and he's kind of, quote, a big slot option. He's 6'3", but they feel like
At least Dane feels like he could be someone that could go right there. And he had him as a draftable grade. So, look, that's someone I know people get all fired up about the undrafted. It's funny. You get more fired up about the undrafted than the drafted. And yet, you have a hard time making the pick as a draft pick these days, much less as an undrafted.
Well, is that a true statement of what Larry just said? Because people were like, Saquon, who is that guy? Who's that Alizé? What? Notre Dame stinks. Jordan Humphrey. Dude, star, the next Colston. You're so right. I've had more people in the last 24 hours tell me five undrafted rookie free agents now will not only make the team, they will be difference makers. I can't get five people to be excited about draft picks, the picks 3, 4, and 5. They love the first two, some, but the other ones, yeah, I can't get anybody like them.
Well, it's funny. People have to remember three draft picks made the team last year, and at the onset, only one undrafted rookie, at least I can remember off the top of my head, made the team, and that was Taylor Stallworth. I know Keith Kirkwood landed later on in the season. But look, it's going to be a challenge for any of these players to make a significant impact. Most of it would be, all right, if someone gets injured outside of, say, Eric McCoy, who I think it is definitely going to be toe-to-toe with who wins that center job. And Gus, if I look at it, the way I think it might turn out, that say Eric McCoy might win the center job, and you might have Dick Easton say is that utility offensive lineman, at least for a year, just kind of bouncing around, being able to play guard, center, guard. And then that puts in jeopardy maybe a job for, say, a Cameron Tom or a Will Clapp. I mean, they have to kind of watch themselves. And they also picked up a couple of undrafted offensive linemen as well.
You need that depth, man, on that O-line, Larry. I know a lot of Saints fans, they love the point that the lack of offensive production at the receiver position, and all that. I'm like, guys, you almost took away a second of Drew Brees' time in some of the videos you saw on NFL Live by the week towards the end of the season. When the line got nicked up, Larry, and the injury reports came out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and either they didn't practice or the entire starting line was limited, You can't overemphasize enough what that means. When your O-line can't practice, that's a huge problem.
Absolutely. And it's one of the reasons why you looked at the Saints, and that's why they went to try to go interior offensive line. Because first off, you had Andres Pete playing hurt and then Pete bouncing around all over the map. Unger wasn't the same player. He even admitted when he retired that, it was getting harder for him to play. Larry Horford kind of dealing with some things. Of course, Teron Armstead, we'd yet to see him play an entire season. Ryan Ramczyk is kind of the Iron Man. But, yeah, the Saints need to kind of keep their eye out. And we're talking just interior offensive line. I'm curious to see who kind of ends up being those guys able to play tackle, because every year the Saints have needed someone to fill in, whether it was Ramczyk filling in for Streve, or someone every year trying to fill in for Armstead, whether it's Pete jumping outside or anyone else. I mean, I think by the end of the year, at some point, they had Derek Newton playing. And, people that you're like, what are these guys, Jermaine Bushrod? I mean, he had to play a lot last year. So they definitely need to solidify that, and I'm sure that's going to be an emphasis with some of the undrafted guys and, of course, the free agent signing of Nick Easton and then the drafting of Eric McCoy.
Speak with Larry Hole of The Athletic, covers the Saints, of course, the LSU Tigers as well. Larry, one of the things, obviously, that I like about the Eric McCoy signing is whether it's Breeze this year, next year, Teddy, or whoever, having a center that's 6'4", 300-plus, can run 4'8". Man, I'm thinking pulling screens, you name it, man. You go to the left side, Armstead's there. I mean, just there's so many different things you can do with a player that's like that based on what you see, what he can do. It's a smart move. But I might be just as excited with the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. When we had Deuce Windham on in hour one, he brought up the fact that in the last 2 years at Florida, he was used in completely different ways on those defenses, and yet he still excelled at it. So you have versatility. And, Larry, I see a guy that doesn't drop balls for the most part, gets interceptions, is there for PBUs, but more importantly is physical on the line. This guy's a run supporter, much less a ball hawk as well.
Yeah, it brings you some versatility, and it's going to remind Saints fans, especially because you go DB, DB on day three, it's going to bring people back to, well, didn't they do that last year with Darrell Jamerson and Cameron Moore? Both didn't make the Saints, but both are on NFL rosters. So it's not like they didn't get NFL-capable talent. And so I think that's what the Saints certainly did. He dropped, I could tell you, in the Athletic, we had him graded as a second-round grade, and so that's why, obviously, the Saints did as well. You know, Mickey Loomis saying their top three picks were in their top 70 on their board, and so that's why they jumped up way up high to 105 at the beginning of the fourth round to go get someone they probably thought was a mid-second-round talent, and he can play that slot position. Look, you can play him in safety in a pinch. And the Saints, just remember last year how basically healthy they were on defense. That doesn't happen all the time. So, you know, you go up and get a guy like this, expect him to make the team. And, you know, the only knock that our draft guru, Dane Brugler, was saying is that, you know, sometimes he's a little over the top, rubs people the wrong way in the locker room. And so, maybe that had something to do with him falling, but you deal with that. You get him into an NFL atmosphere, I would assume that his act has to clean up quickly, knowing that he's not coming in and starting right away. He's got to earn a spot on the team, let's be frank. I mean, fourth round pick was gone last year, didn't even make the team at all.
No, and you also think of it from this standpoint, Aaron Glenn, kind of an in-your-face vocal guy there as well. Dennis Allen, those two guys, no-nonsense guys. I think if he's going to learn the way of an NFL locker room, you got to imagine Aaron, especially, look, a winning organization, a winning team. You can turn your things around if that's an issue when you know, hey, I make this team, I got a shot at winning, I got a shot at, you know, really going far. So you got to imagine, at least from the get-go, he's got some things in place that will help if that's the case.
Yeah, you would think so. And like I said, he's not the, you know, the big fish in the pond. He's not. He is absolutely, he's at minimum the backup free safety at minimum. I'd say at max he's the backup free safety unless he somehow beats out Marcus Williams. And then at nickel, he could end up being, say, the backup nickel corner if he's better than PJ Williams because you've already got Patrick Robinson there. So, He's got to come in and earn his keep, and so I'm curious to see how that kind of reacts once we get this ball rolling.
One of the other things, Larry Holder of The Athletic, when you look at some of the other draft picks here as well, Hampton, Mack, and Ellis, you think special teams. Look, Sean Payton, when you cover him as long as we have, he's open a lot of times. I mean, when you go make the change that you did and bring in a new special teams coordinator, I think a lot of times media, fans, we look at the draft as replenishing your offense and defense. You forget there's a third component to your team, and it's special teams. There's no doubt that even Deuce said it now, we're number one. A lot of these guys are right off the bat special team contributors. So, look, he goes and gets a special teams coordinator to kind of refresh things, and then he goes and gets players for that. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, and you look at someone like Saquon Hampton at Rutgers. He played under a new special teams assistant, Phil Gagliano, in Rutgers. So obviously they have a familiarity with the player, and that makes life a little easier. And they actually had him in their top 70, which to me is amazing. You know, that they were able to get someone that high on their board that late in the draft. You look at Mack, he can come in and win that number three tight end job. I mean, does Dan Arnold and Gary Griffin scare you? No. I mean, so I think he's got plenty of athletic ability. And Caden Ellis, I think he's going to be an interesting cat because Sean Payton mentioned how he wanted a linebacker who could come in and play special teams. And last year, for the most part, you know, the Saints really just played with five linebackers on the game day roster, and that's probably what they'll do. But that also includes someone like Vince Beagle, and, you know, he never plays on defense. And Manti Te'o never played. He was on the roster, but inactive. So there's definitely a spot for him, at least on the 53-man, for him to win coming in as a seventh-round pick.
Larry, any final thoughts before we let you go here? Is there anything else that really stood out in the draft or the unrookie free agents other than we're going to go buy a Jordan Humphrey jersey?
Yeah, of course. It's funny. You always got to look at how much money is being spent on a player to come in as far as the undrafted crop. You've got Granderson, who is from Wyoming. Look, he's coming in. They're paying him significant guaranteed money to come in, but he's got some legal issues that are following him in. That's probably one of the reasons why he wasn't drafted. But they're paying him $70,000 as part of his base salary guaranteed right off the bat, and then $15,000 as a signing bonus. So when you see that, that's kind of the players they feel confident that could crack the roster. And you look at the edge position, I mean, you've got Marcus Davenport, you've got Cam Jordan, obviously, but then what, Trey Hendrickson, and then what else do you have on the other side? Who knows? So somebody is going to give that an edge spot, whether it's Granderson or a veteran. I would keep an eye on that as we move forward as well.
Larry Holder, The Athletic, at Larry Holder, is a way to follow over on Twitter. Thanks, man. Appreciate your time today.
All right, Goosey. And you know what? Have the draft in Man Shack or in Grand Isle. I did.
Let me ask you, do you think they will have the draft here? It's in Vegas next
year. Never. Never.
Never?
Never think they will. And I'll tell you why. The draft goes to cities that are more than likely never going to get a Super Bowl.
Okay.
So that's what that part of the reason is, okay. At least in my eye.
It is incredible, though. 600,000 people, man.
500,000 of them are idiots. Don't watch inside the bar. What are you doing standing in the street? That's dumb. No. I think they're idiots.
There you go, Larry Holder. That's actually a really good point. I'm with you. I would go inside and do that. Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
All right, Goose.
Yep. The spectacle. You wouldn't watch the spectacle? You wouldn't be outside in the heat?
In New Orleans?
Yeah.
To watch the draft?
The draft.
Nah.
With the 176th pick.
I'm dying out here.
Yeah. There you go.
No.
Yeah. I think it wouldn't be that bad. Don't forget OTAs May 21st through the 23rd, May 28th through the 30th, June 3rd through the 6th. Practice. Mandatory minicamp, June 11th through the 13th. Right around the corner, Jordan the intern. Right around the corner.
The heat.
Mm-hmm. Sports Hangover continues next. Marlon Favreau wants to give his opinions. I'll ask him why Jordan the intern thinks LSU stinks now because only three players got drafted. You know what you said earlier?
No.
You didn't say that?
No.
Oh, you were saying it's okay that only three got drafted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Josh, I don't know what Josh or son asked.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Brittany LaBeouf, a certified athletic trainer for Terrebonne General Medical Center's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that we've given over 4,000 baseline concussion tests to student athletes in Terrebonne Parish at no charge? A baseline concussion test allows the athlete to get back to their sport in the safest manner possible. TGMC's certified athletic trainers supervise the return to play protocol at each high school once the physician releases the athlete back to activity. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to TGMC.com.
The 2019 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series is underway, and you can get caught up on the latest information for this week's race on Fridays right here, ESPN New Orleans. And it's all sponsored by Rogers Parts, locally owned, nationally known. Rogers Parts has been serving the local area for over 50 years. Get the expert analysis and latest news of this week's NASCAR racing event all throughout the season, every Friday on ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM. Napa Know-How. Come into Firehouse Subs and try the brisket sub, piled high with brisket that smoked 16 hours and sliced to perfection and topped with cheddar cheese and sweet Davy Ray's barbecue sauce. Or try the new Cajun chicken sub, full of flavor and only around for a limited time. Firehouse Subs slices their meat daily in-house to provide the freshest quality product. Go to FirehouseSubs.com or download the Firehouse Subs app and use our online ordering. Give Firehouse Subs in Houma or Thibodaux a call for all of your catering needs. Firehouse Subs wants to wish the Nicholls State Baseball Team the best of luck this season.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Sports Hangover back 100% hot. Thanks to everybody for getting that tower up and running. Joey, way to, hold two wires together right there with your bare feet. Like, what was it, periscope down or periscope?
Yeah, I'm fine. Everything is looking good.
Exactly. I don't know why that's the one part of the movie that stands out to me, honestly.
That's the best part.
Kelsey Grammer. Loved it.
I love it.
Because, no, seriously, if the Sports Hangover crew would ever man an old sub, that would be pretty much the representation would be like.
And what movie are we talking about?
Periscope down or periscope up?
Never
Kelsey
periscope
Grammer?
Down.
Never seen it. Periscope down. You never seen it?
You know our captain would be?
Huh.
Hello, somebody.
Oh, yeah. Marlon Favorite. I wonder if he would be the captain. What's going on, Marlon? How are you, bud?
Hello, somebody. Talk to me now. Now, I missed the first part of this, man. What am I going to be the captain of?
Just a broken down submarine that can barely stay afloat with us as your crew.
Oh, man. I think the first issue is my skills on the water. Not all that good. I mean, I can paddle a boat for sure, but I don't know.
It would be underwater with no windows. I mean, we would have to be navigating through charts and, nautical stuff.
Exactly. I guess if I can survive inside the trenches, I can do that as well.
It's funny. You and I have talked about that, like your view and like how it had to be odd to watch games and just kind of look at this from a different perspective, because your view of a game is very different than the view that we get to see, right? Because you essentially get to watch a play in a very confined and closed area. You really don't even see the end of the play a lot of the time. So it had to be interesting, I guess, to look at film at the end of the day and just kind of see how that play wound up.
Gus, I thank God for the replay, because I actually can see what happens on a touchdown or whatever, because when the game starts off, I'm locked inside the trench to see who's blocking, who's actually getting to the quarterback on the other side. So I do watch the game a little opposite from most viewers.
All right, well, Marlon, obviously Saints make their picks, get five players overall. We talked, obviously, on Friday at Hooters. Eric McCoy, you had a couple of days to kind of talk or just kind of look back at this pick here as well. You liked it then. You liked it then. You kept harping at the stats and the numbers in the combine and what you did. A couple of days removed from it, do you still enjoy the pick that the Saints got in the second round?
I do, man. And I really appreciate, us really taking the time to research and see exactly what would be the best move for the black and gold. And the fact that I guess that pick an hour before it happened really shocked myself. At the same time, I was shocked myself. I really was. But, I mean, if you just really pay attention to the off-season needs and the areas that the New Orleans Saints addressed, from Malcolm Brown at the defensive tackle, on to Mario Evans Jr., Edwards Jr., at the defensive position, a guy that can play in or at the D tackle, and Max Unger retiring, them getting Nick Easton, who has playing time, so he does have a bit of an edge in their regard of a veteran-type player. But, I mean, Eric McCoy, I think, is the better athlete if you look at the big picture. So after the dust settled, I give the Saints a B+, man. I really do. I think with the five picks that they had, they did a good job. I was hoping they would have went with Charles Jones, tight end out of Tulane, with that seventh pick as opposed to the kid from Notre Dame. But, the kid from Notre Dame as well is very athletic. So I was just, I guess, I'm okay with how they did with the picks that they had, for sure.
One of the things, obviously, right after that, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson safety, when the pick comes out, fans go, safety, what? Look, man, one of the things that's been impressive watching him, when we had Deuce Windham of The Athletic on in hour number one, he says, look, the last 2 years in Florida has been used completely different, in completely different ways, so it shows versatility. You can use him this way, you can use him that way. I love his aggressiveness, man. You look at the fact that he can be a run stopper, he's physical, he gets the interceptions of the balls around him, he can cover, seems smart. You see him make plays on opposite ends of the field, kind of coming in the last second on the screen to make a ball, play on the ball, pass breakups, the works. And look, played at Florida, SEC competition. Some of those games against LSU, what they've been like. Do you remember anything about Gardner Johnson with the Gators?
Man, the biggest thing I remember about him is his ability after the turnover to go and score. So that tells me right there is a guy that they can use on special teams as a returner, give Alvin Kamara. And I know they addressed that position as well during the draft. But, you know, just someone for backup to just take a look at. And his ability to make an interception and score on those plays, I want to say, like, out of his 9 career interceptions at Florida, 3 of them will return to the house for touchdowns. So that's big in a league that's constantly coming down to the last play, constantly coming down. And if you look at his performance against Michigan, I thought he left college football on a good note. So in all essence, Gus, this is a steal. This is, mm-hmm. I think, a second round, maybe late first round talent in Gardner. So I think you have a guy with the year that Marcus Williams had last year that'll put a little flame behind him. And we know the way the Saints view this nickel position. We know the way the Saints view their secondary. They're always looking for someone who can cover in the slot or play in the box. Or you can use at free safety or safety. I mean, this kid can do it all. So I like the fourth round pick for them. Definitely got a steal for sure.
You take a look at obviously some of the other picks that went. You see a lot of special teams play and stuff. Marlon, you have a unique perspective on this because obviously we talked about it back on Friday, not going drafted, understanding that when you got a call and you got a chance to go to an NFL camp or an NFL team, special teams are where you're going to make the team. We hear that a lot about, you know, picks like Saquon Hampton, Mack, and also Caden Ellis, and you're thinking those are just draft picks, but undrafted rookie free agents as well. What's the mindset like? You've actually had to do it. What is it like knowing, dude, it's one of the final spots, and it's what you can do in just a handful of plays a game. Special teams plays, it's not like you get all the snap counts for a lot of them, but in preseason games and things of that nature, you only really have so many special teams plays. So what is that mindset like of a player?
Well, the mindset is you have to get it. I mean, that's the first thing that pops to my mind. Even back then, you don't have a lot of options. You were either a late draft pick or you were undrafted, so you have to earn your keeps. So one thing I do remember, Gus, about making those teams, unfortunately for me, I wasn't a special teams guy. So I didn't run down on kickoff because my belly didn't allow me to on either other position. So for a guy like a tight end or a defensive back or even some cases a linebacker, you want to volunteer and jump on all the special teams you can and try to make an immediate impact at your position. Mm-hmm. It's a numbers game. It really is. I know it sounds like a cliche. Folks say that a lot, but it is. I mean, 45 guys dressed to play, 53-man roster, and then there's practice squad slots. So that's one thing. You want to earn your keeps on special teams, especially when you're a guy that's a late draft pick, not a big investment, or a guy that's a free agent that's just coming on. They don't have to keep you, so you have to show your keeps. And the next thing I really want to mention, and this has more to do with the preseason. Man, bust your tail in preseason games. Do everything you can to show your worth on tape because it's 31 other teams you're auditioning to. So it's a number of ways to view it when a team doesn't make a big investment in you up front
right.
for you to earn that team's respect.
You know, one of the things that we were talking about was speaking with Marlon Favre at a Big Fave 504 as well as Jordan the intern was just, I couldn't stop him all morning from saying roll tie since only 3 players for LSU were drafted, Marlon. Anything for Jordan here? He's wearing Alabama red right now.
Oh, man, Jordan, man, jumping. See, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to those folks at Southeastern and let them know you're turning your back on the state. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do.
Look, you were with us, man, when Greedy kept falling. He eventually got selected here as well. Glenn Gilbo had an interesting tweet back in and he said, look, it's not the first time that it's happened where you've seen LSU not have a lot of draft picks, but just as a matter of fact, just 3. The Tigers had 3-man draft class in 2001 and 2005. In 2003 and 2007, Marlon, as you know, Tigers won the national championship 2 years after that. And what his point was, right after that, the next year's class was among the top, if not the top in the nation. Yesterday, saw rivals putting LSU number one in recruiting for the 2020 class, landing a five-star receiver commit. So, Marlon, maybe you look at it like this, and go, all right, only three got drafted, but wait for the classes to come.
Definitely, man. This is a year, if you look at LSU's draft class this year, it wasn't a lot of their heavy hitters. You didn't have Grandel Pitt coming out this year, Rashard Lawrence, all those defensive tackles that fell off the board first day. It wouldn't have surprised me if he would have went first day or second day, the talent that Rashard Lawrence had. Joe Burrow, I mean, he is a draftable quarterback. Let's be honest. He isn't one of those high-end quarterbacks like a Kyler Murray, but in a year where they need draft picks, I think he's someone that teams would definitely consider, the amount of talent. Now, Greedy was a surprise. He was a surprise falling to the second round because, again, I think he was first-round talent. But, Gus, we said this on draft night. Look at the amount of defensive tackles that fell off the board, offensive linemen and defensive tackles that fell off the board in the first round. That's why Greedy didn't go first round. See, the draft is really a numbers game as well. It's all about what the teams need at that time. So I think in that situation, put Greedy in a position to where, I mean, he was one of the better safeties, defensive backs on this board, and now he has that to go prove. But, I mean, you're just dealing with a year where the numbers were scarce. Mm-hmm. Now, next year, look at seeing a lot of guys come off the board early and often for LSU because the amount of talent that's on that team coming up for the following year.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's a lot of talent coming in the next couple of years here as well. But, look, it is what it is. I still think, man, Devin White's going to be solid. John 4K keeps making fun of me with my man crush with him. I just think he's going to give the Saints heck, man, to see what it goes there. Let's see what Greedy Williams can do.
Yeah, I think both of those guys – look at the situation Greedy's in, man. I mean, he's out there in Cleveland with his LSU boys, Jarvis Landry.
Opposite of Ward, too, man. That's a secondary.
That second, oh, man. Him and Ward, two SEC guys. So Ward went to Florida State. No, he went to Florida. No, Florida State. Southern guys, I'm going to just say, Southern boys. There we go. I'm going to do that one. So Cleveland looks, man, Gus, they have me so excited for the football season because I think this is a dream team, but more of an Avengers dream team as opposed to a USA basketball one. You get what I'm saying? I think these guys are going to act a fool. They're super excited. And the only question mark I have with Cleveland now is Coach Fred Kitchen. will he be able to coach up that town? So that's it, really.
Marlon Favorite, the In the Trenches podcast at Big Fave. 504 is the way to follow him on Twitter. Thank you, Marlon.
All right, fella. Thank y'all for having me. Enjoy y'all Monday Funday, baby.
Sure, man. Take care. Uh-oh. Christian Dawkins on the stand at the federal trial. Dan Wetzel. A couple of tweets here about Will Wade. I'll tell you about that next. As the news coming out of federal court over there on the ex-Arizona assistant. Give you the info next. Don't forget Matt Moscone after further review coming up top of the hour on ESPN New Orleans.
Greg LeBlanc has the deals. Shop now online or in person at Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Our new express store makes shopping online easier than ever.
Ever.
We now offer home delivery. Get the all-new 2019 Tundra TSS off-road for just $32,990. That's just $32,990 for a new off-road Tundra four-door. All Louisiana residents are welcome to participate in Greg LeBlanc Toyota's low, low prices on new Toyotas. Shop online. Shop now at GregLeBlancToyota.com and save today because Greg LeBlanc has the deals.
Model 8239, MSRP 38449, 4,000 rebate plus TTNL.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town, and we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Not a popular individual for LSU fans, Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports columnist. Tweets, wild day in federal court, ex-Arizona assistant Book Richardson. On recorded tape, basically says, despite making nearly $250,000 a year, he was broke from using so much of his own money to pay recruits. Also on tape, Richardson says, LSU coach Will Wade offered a job to help with the recruitment of Naz Reid. Per Richardson, Wade said, quote, look, there's a deal in place. I got $300,000 for him. I said, give me half and I'll make sure the kid goes there. Christian Dawkins, when discussing DeAndre Ayton, says on tape, I talked to Sean Miller. Sean's the one that fronted the deal. So, lots more coming out as well in the GIFs responding to this on Twitter. Are LSU fans yawning? I don't know if there's anything to yawn about. You can hate Dan Wetzel all you want. But that's what's coming out of there. Also, a quick bit of Pels news. Adrian Wojnarowski saying that after meeting with New Orleans top executive David Griffin about a high-ranking front office job, assistant GM Trent Redden will stay with the Clippers. Redden has great belief in Griffin, but is still too connected to the L.A. Clippers group with the unfinished business remaining there. More than likely, Mr. Ballmer up to salary. Mark, got about 60 seconds, bud, before Matt Moscona's on his way. What you got for us?
Yeah, I was just wanting to give old Marlon a hard time coming from a John Arab guy, you know, to a West Jeff guy. He was talking about Denzel Ward.
Yeah.
Being the SEC guy, then he corrected himself about Florida State, but he went to Ohio State. I was just wanting to give him a little hard time to do his homework. That's all. It was, you know, West Jeff, you know, about that homework.
Nah, you know, that's how it works for them. Yeah, no doubt about it. That's for sure.
That was it.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you for tuning in.
Hey, I'm so glad y'all back on. It's wonderful. Absolutely it's wonderful.
Believe me, dude. It was something that should have been 5 to 10 days, and it took a lot longer. But thanks for tuning us in, man, and staying with us. Believe me when I tell you there was nothing we can do about it.
Understandable. Understandable.
Thanks, man. I do appreciate it.
Life's a little better today.
Well, I believe me, I'm excited. No doubt Matt Moscona coming up next is going to touch. I've been texting him throughout the show. He's going to talk about the LSU draft picks. He's also going to be talking about, obviously, the latest Wetzel tweets here as well. So stay with us. You'll get to actually hear Matt Moscona after further review. Off the bench with Jordy Collada, T-Bob Hebert tomorrow morning. We are back at 100% full power. Please, if you're listening, pass along. We've tweeted, we've Facebooked, we've done all we could. Thanks for staying with us. If you have, you have it, we'll try to get you back. Promise. We'll do the best we can. See you tomorrow on ESPN New Orleans. We'll